Thank you, Prem and Ganesh. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet. The 89th birthday celebrations is over now. The month of December has started. Today, December 4th, 2014, and now begins the time to start working for the grand and glorious 90th birthday of Bhagwan. It should be a celebration. It starts right now. Yes, from right now till November 2015. And yes, on Radio Sai, we are planning a few wonderful series of articles, competitions, videos and so on. It would be wonderful if by 90th birthday, everyone everywhere at least has heard of Satya Sai Baba, or at least has realized what the power of pure love is, at least believes firmly that if there's anything that can change the world, it is the power of love, a love that is true to its name. Someone this morning sent me a beautiful message. Love without condition. Give without reason. Share without reservation. Care without expectation. Should I repeat? Love without condition. Give without reason. Share without reservation. And care without expectation. And I would say, if you do this, then life indeed would become a celebration. Isn't it? A celebration not only for us, but for everyone around us. We would be lighting up our lives and lighting up and delighting hundreds and thousands of others. In fact, just before 89th birthday of Bhagwan, the celebrations began in Prashantinilam. One day, I thought, let me put together what I have learned from Swami, from his glorious 86 years of physical sojourn on earth. And so many thoughts flooded my mind. So many instances flashed from my memory. So many experiences filled my heart. And as I was ruminating, I thought, okay, forget my experiences. Look at Swami's own life. Let's look at Swami's own life from the beginning. And that's how I picked up the story of his life from Chattyam Shivasundaram and other books. And as I started reading, the whole exercise gave me a completely different experience. I began to see the underlying message behind every act of God in human form. And every act was giving me such powerful and forceful messages. Let me give you just a few instances and then we'll move on to what I really want to convey today. I'm going to play a very beautiful conversation today that's coming up later in the program. But first, a few thoughts that I want to share. So I was telling you about the lessons that I could draw from Bhagwan's own life. So I started reading about Swami and started talking about Swami's childhood. You know, as the young Satya started walking and he became a 5 or 6 year old, Mother Isharamma noticed that he never asked for any particular food or clothes, and a bundle of clothes would be brought from Hindupur or Antpur, and one of the grown-ups, father or grandfather, would call the boys in the family to pick up their choice. But Satya always sat aloof until the others had made their choice, and then he would take whatever was left of the lot rejected by others. He never seemed to have any desire or wish of his own. But his face would light up with a beam when he saw the other children happy, other children in the family. And Mother Isharamma recalls, I would hug him close and try to get him to confide his wish to me. You know, the mother is telling, Satyam, please tell what you want. Why don't you choose? I will give that to you. And young Satya would always say, I don't need anything. Whatever you give me, I will accept. That is enough for me. I will not choose. And mother would be sorrowful, you know. Mother would wish, if only he was more choosy, if only he was more assertive, if only he asked what he wanted. But Satya never had a choice. Because someone who is always engaged incessantly only in the happiness and welfare of others, has he ever thought about his comfort? Has he ever thought about himself? You know, even before Bhagwan had spoken a word of divine discourse, this is what he was teaching. Love lives by giving, not taking. By sharing, not collecting. By scattering, not gathering. And I know how Swami was never bothered about his comfort. Swami lived in the Prashantinilayam Mandir till 1993. The mandir which was built in 1950. Till his physical frame was almost 70 years old, he lived in that same building. And even though the mandir had a lot of add-ons, you know, the Sai Kulwant Hall came up and the Sai Kulwant Halls had a lot of decorations to it, and slowly you had the gold foiling and extra, etc. The Sai Kulwant Hall looked grand, but Bhagwan's room was always the same. It was 8 feet by probably 15 feet with stone walls and cement floor, one cot. That is how it was. That is how it was till he was in Mandir, till 1993. He was more than 70 years old. And I remember until 2005, there was no AC in the interview room of Bhagwan. It is the room where Bhagwan spent so much of his time every day. So many people crowding into that room. There was always only a fan. He never allowed AC. That in a place like Puttaparthi, where there are three seasons, they say, hot, hotter and hottest. And after 1993, Swami moved to the Purnachandra Auditorium. And where did he stay? There was no special room constructed for him. He went and stayed in a green room, where artists used to change costumes and makeup and etc. That was the room which Swami occupied. And he stayed there till he was almost 80. Again, in Purnachandra Auditorium, there was no AC until 2004. Now, when Swami says, my life is my message, one should have noticed and known him at close quarters to see how he lived every facet of what this message means. He never spoke without doing anything. One has to have seen him and interacted with him at that level to have the opportunity to see him in action. Love lives by giving, not taking, by sharing, not collecting, by scattering, not gathering. Let's go back again to Swami's childhood. Whenever a beggar appeared at the door and raised his cry, young Satya would stop his play and rush in to cajole his sisters to give the mendicant some food. And after a point, even the elders were unwilling to put up with such endless acts of kindness, which they thought are really Satya's too much of generosity. Sometimes Isharama would catch hold of Satya and with a finger raised in warning, she would say, look here, you may give that beggar food, but mind you, you will have to starve. And in response, Satya would only run inside, bring the food and offer it to the hungry man, and then gladly stay away from his meal. And now nothing and nobody could persuade him to come to his plate. And his plate was left untouched. Love loves to sacrifice. Love delights in diminishing itself to brighten someone else. I remember there was one very beautiful instance. This was narrated to me by Ashwin, who passed out of Bhagwan's University in the year 2000, and he belonged to the batch of students who had the chance to study in Bhagwan's Uti school way back in the 80s, in the early 90s. And Swami had come to Uti on one occasion, and Uti as many of us are aware, it's a very cold environment, and this boy, he had cough and slight fever and cold, and the cough was very severe, and you know, he used to cough his head off. Especially it was very uncomfortable for him, because they would be sitting around Swami and Swami would be interacting, but his cough would be unending. And you know, in the first day Swami would say, why don't you eat this food, you know, take care, do this, do that, like a mother would. But nothing seemed to help. His cough persisted and it was disturbing a lot of people. Every time Swami would call them around and give a talk, this boy would be sitting there coughing and coughing. And he used to feel so upset. Feel so miserable, because you know, would wonder what people would be thinking of him. And Swami would only look at him with a lot of compassion. Third day into this trauma, and then his cough has not abated, and one day Swami walked out of his room one morning and he looked at him, came closer to him and said, okay, I'm going to give you something and this will help you. And then he waved his hand and he created three tiny white tablets. In fact, there were two other boys along with Ashwin who also had this cough problem, and these, one of them was very inquisitive what these tablets were, which pharmacy has made these tablets. And that boy later he told Ashwin that when he examined this tablet, it was written DRSAI, Dr. Sai. And Swami, of course, did not give them much time to hold the tablets. Swami told them to just pop the tablets in and take a little water. Swami said, you do this and you would be all right. And so, the boys were, of course, very happy. They popped the pill. And 2 days later, Ashwin, too. You are surprised, dear listeners. He was still coughing. Swami had given the medicine, still he was coughing. And it is 5 days now, nothing seems to work. And he's thinking, Swami, you already gave the medicine, that also did not work. I don't know what is going to help me. I don't know what to do. And that morning of the fifth day, when Swami came out for darshan, you know, all the boys would be sitting very close to the staircase. As Swami came down from the top floor to the bottom, this boy, Ashwin, was sitting right at the end of the stairway. And as he came towards him, and Ashwin was coughing and coughing and coughing, and Swami looked at him with so much love. And then he came near him. And you know what he did? Swami came near him, looked at him, walked further a few steps. Then he turned back. And Swami himself coughed. He coughed a few times. And then he looked at him and just said two words, your cough. And then he moved on. And after that moment, Ashwin never coughed. It was only in the evening that when someone told Ashwin, Ashwin, you did not cough today the whole day. During the entire Swami's discourse, he didn't cough. Ashwin says, it's only then that it dawned on me that what it meant when Bhagwan had looked at that point to me and said, your cough. That is the Lord. He tries to satiate our need. He takes care of our unfulfilled desires. He comes to our rescue, never stops from giving himself to us. And he can go to any length. He'll be willing to take upon himself the suffering, anything, our suffering, our discomfort, to ensure that we do not suffer. And I think all of us have instances. We only have to look back and see how many are the instances when Bhagwan has taken upon himself. In fact, this is what I used to always feel when I used to see Bhagwan come on the wheelchair. The burden of what he has taken upon himself has made him heavy. And that is the reason why it has become so difficult for him to walk. But he never complained. He never complained because love loves to sacrifice. It delights in diminishing itself to brighten someone else. That is what is love. Let me go back to Bhagwan's childhood again. Every time Satya heard a beggar's cry, the tiny golden heart would look imploringly at the elders as if, you know, beseeching them to feed that impoverished one. And Swami would never be satisfied until that was done, and to his heart's content. And when he began running about in the street, young Satya would find the maimed, the blind, the decrepit and the diseased, and he would take them by the hand to the doorstep of his home, and then he would ask his sisters to get some grain or some food from the kitchen or from the store and put it in their bowls. And when this was done, he would smile and he would be glad. The little savior would just be delighted. Why? Because love never misses an opportunity to care and console, to protect and provide, to reach out and embrace. And haven't we seen that in Swami's life? So many occasions. I remember when the floods happened in Orissa in the year 2008, September 2008. Hundreds of thousands of homes were swept away. Almost 2 million were affected. And when this disaster struck, none of the corporations bothered. Their headquarters were thousands of kilometers away. They were sort of insulated from this. They were hardly bothered. And I remember on these occasions when pictures of the seva that was being done by the Satya Sai organization during the flood were shown to Bhagwan, Swami asked, "Are there not rich people in Odisha?" And the senior devotees who were showing these photographs to Bhagwan, they said, "Swami, the people of Orissa are very poor. However, there are many rich companies who are operating there, doing mining and things like that. But they are all from outside." Then Swami asked, "All these rich companies, did they not offer any help? After all, it is from the wealth of Orissa that they are making profits." And the elderly devotee was silent. Swami said, "This is not done. This is a crying shame." And Swami said, "Everyone else might forget the suffering of these poor people, but I will never." Swami never forgets others' pain. And immediately Swami drew up a program to build houses, to provide permanent shelter to thousand houses were to be built, and Swami had this announcement done in October 2008. This is the story of how the Orissa Housing Project came into existence. Love never misses an opportunity to care and console. In fact, I have seen Bhagwan. Of course, there is that omnipotent God who looks after everybody all the time. But whenever anything was physically presented in front of Bhagwan, you would have seen how his heart, how his eyes would just become watery. He was not able to anytime see anybody suffer. And in fact, look at the Chennai Water Project. No one told Swami about it. Swami was perhaps only telling us how we should be grateful. Swami has first stepped in Chennai as a 19-year-old young charismatic boy in 1945, and since then he blessed the city of Chennai with any number of visits, sometimes staying for months together. As in 1950, he stayed there from January to March, or in 1954, he was there from January to April. Between 1945 and 1997, Swami blessed Chennai with more than 65 visits. And he stayed in the houses of so many devotees. In fact, Chennai became his temporary headquarters when he was visiting other places. You know, be it his visit to the Rishikesh and Haridwar in July 1957, or to Tirupati in March 1960, or to Badrinath in June 1961, Chennai was the take-off and return station. Even the All India Conference of Satyasaya Organizations was held in Chennai, 1967, 20th and 21st April 1967. This is the association that Swami had with Chennai, and now, to me, it felt like the Lord was only telling, you know, this city has done so much. It doesn't have to ask me, I have to take care of it. And on his own, no one asked him. That's how the Chennai Water Project happened. Out of the blue, he announced during the first anniversary of the Super Speciality Hospital in year 2002 in Bangalore. It was a hospital function. No one ever thought Swami would make an announcement about a water project. Same is the story for East and West Godavari drinking water projects. Love never misses an opportunity to care and console, to protect and provide, to reach out and embrace. Let's turn one more page in the life of young Satya. Sometimes village urchins would carry a hen hanging upside down or kick a dog in his presence, and when Satya witnessed this, he would feel utterly miserable. When he knew a bird was being selected for a future meal, he clasped that bird so tightly to his bosom. In fact, he fondled the bird so lovingly and held it so close to his heart that anyone who saw how genuinely Swami loved that bird, that he felt, how can I hurt this little being? When someone is pouring so much love. Love can conquer hate and animosity, provided its intensity is superiorly greater than the latter. Love can conquer hate and animosity. We have heard of instances how Swami's hut was burned down, how a lady gave him poison vadas. With love, you can conquer anything. And we have seen so many instances how Swami, by pouring so much of his love, has ensured that the person is saved, that he is not harmed. In fact, there is a very beautiful incident once narrated to me by Brother Amay. When he was in the primary school, on one occasion he did a few silly things, you know, which got him into a lot of trouble. And actually, he did whatever he did only because he wanted to help a particular boy who he thought was his best friend. But that became a big problem, and the teachers and his classmates were very disappointed with what he had done. And now it almost reached a point where, you know, he was left all alone. This friend also had now distanced himself. Nobody was with him, and he was feeling very down, and everybody was pouring their grievance and reprimanding him. And he was thinking, what is this? I tried to do something, okay, not appropriate, but I wanted to do it for this friend, but this is what I am in. And the next Thursday morning, what happened was when Bhagwan came for darshan, Swami picked up one boy and Swami started accosting that boy for misbehaving the previous day. And Swami said, "For what have you come here? You have come to make your parents proud of you. You have come to make me proud of you. So behave like a good boy. Swami likes good boys." Swami said this to a boy, and then Swami looked at Brother Amay and Swami said, "Be like that boy. He is a very good boy." Swami looked at Brother Amay and told that boy, "Be like him. He is a very good boy." And then Swami told Amay, "Get up." And he made Amay stand next to him. He put his hand around his shoulders, almost like a friend. And then Swami told, "Be like this boy." He told everyone, "Be like this boy." To whom is Swami saying this? To a boy whom everyone wanted to get rid of. The teachers were scolding him. The classmates had distanced him. His best friend had moved away from him. But here, when he was feeling all alone, here was Bhagwan who was telling, "Be like this boy." This is what he does. When there is no one with us, he will be there. And you know, all of a sudden, Amay's image changed completely in the school. From the depths of oceans, you see to the great heights of the sky, so to say. Because Swami praised him so much. He says, even till this day, I don't know for what Swami praised me. But he said, "But I know one thing, if Swami had not done that day, I would not have had any face to show. I don't know if I would have survived that." So that is how the Lord, you know, He loves us so much that the other person forgets any ill feeling that they have towards us. And that is a lesson for us, isn't it? How we can love someone so much that our love protects that other person from any harm. How our love should become a protective umbrella for that person. Just like Swami clasps that bird so tightly that no one could ever think of harming him. Can we love someone so much that nothing ever can happen to that person? Because love is an energy. And this energy can do wonders. But it can do wonders only when it is focused, only when it is channelized. The sun rays, when it is concentrated through a glass, it can burn paper, it can burn trees, it can burn anything. Love can conquer hate and animosity, provided its intensity is superiorly greater than the latter. Let's rewind once again to the 1930s. Swami is now in school. At Satya school, there was an interesting scheme of punishment to ensure punctuality. Whoever arrived late, regardless of the reason, would get a taste of the cane. And those who came in first and greeted the teacher were privileged to execute the punishment. And the number of cuts received depended on one's number on the list of latecomers. So the one who came later, the later one arrived, the more cuts one received. More thrashings on your palm by the cane. And during cold and damp mornings, what used to happen is children used to gather quite early, you know, just to escape punishment. And Satya would really feel very sorry with the plight of all his classmates. So what he used to do is he would bring this piece of clothes from his house to provide comfort to his fellow students in that cold morning. The people at Satya's home discovered that this is what Satya is doing, and so what they should do is they should lock up the clothes so that he doesn't get to take them and distribute them. All the clothes would be locked up inside the boxes, but Satya always found a way somehow to come to his classmates' rescue. And he ever, always did it. Love will face challenges. Small minds will always oppose it, like the people of Satya's home. Small minds will always oppose it, thinking that they can choke their life out of love. But love is energized by a higher power. No, love is energized by the highest power. And so love will always find its way. Love will always find its way. Rabindranath Tagore said, he who wants to do good knocks at the gate, but he who loves finds the gates open. In fact, I remember a very beautiful, very revealing incident. This happened in Kodaikanal. Generally, towards the end of Swami's trip in Kodaikanal, Swami would call all the people, you know, who had served him during that trip, you know, be it the people, the security, the police force, the dhobis who washed the clothes of all the people in the trip, and people, the gardeners and housekeeping staff, and he would give them some gifts. And so one day, Swami, as he came, he asked all the police force who were around him to sit in an area where he wanted to give them something. And so he had decided to give all of them some clothes and a little money. And he walked into that hall that morning, you know, expecting there would be 20 people. But that's what someone had informed Swami. But when Swami went there, he saw that there were at least 100 people sitting there. So Swami came back again to the main hall and he said, "Oh, there are 100 people sitting there. Do we have that many clothes and money for 100 people?" Actually, there were enough clothes to distribute to 100 people, but unfortunately that much money was not there. And when this was informed to Swami, Swami was very, very calm. He said, "Okay, just ask them to wait." And Swami said, "Let me go for darshan. Once I come back, we will distribute." And when Swami came back from darshan, there were a few elders, you know, who with whom Swami was interacting, who were concerned that, you know, there was not enough money and Swami wanted to give and there are 100 people now and that bit of cash was missing. And when Bhagwan returned from darshan, as he was walking into the hall, you know, there were in his hands a stack of letters. One of the letters incidentally fell off onto the floor, and this happened to fall just before the eldest member in the group, you know, who was concerned about this, how to make this distribution, how to arrange the resources. And Swami looked at him in a very meaningful manner, and Swami asked him to pick that envelope. And when he did that, surprisingly, he found that in that envelope there were just enough money to take care of the needs of 80 other people who are waiting for Swami. Well, what is special about this episode is not exactly this. Not that, you know, Swami is God and He can make miracles happen at any point in time. That is not what is special about this episode. What is special about this episode is what happened next. Swami looked at this elderly gentleman in the eye, and you know what Swami said? He said, "I did not use my power for this money. I did not use my power for this money." And then Swami went on to say, when you have a deep desire to make a difference to people, when you have a deep unquenchable thirst to want to give yourself away to people selflessly, the forces of nature will wrap themselves around you and make it possible. That is the profound truth of this universe, which we saw Bhagwan manifest and show it to us and tell us, "Hello, this is possible. You too can do it." There will be challenges, but there is no challenge on earth that love cannot conquer, because everything in this world is only a derivative of love. If anything is bad, it is basically acts of little love. They are acts of lovelessness. Just like there is nothing called darkness, it is just absence of light. What we see as not so nice is basically acts of no love. It's like darkness, and darkness can be removed only with light. Similarly, anything that is not love can be conquered only with love. are so many instances like this as you read Bhagwan's early life. I have written about some of these in a website article. If you look on the ERSA website, on his 19th birthday, embodying his love in our lives. On his birthday, embodying his love in our lives. See, this is the name of the article. I will just take one more episode and then we'll move on to what I wanted to play for you today. This is something to do with Bhagwan's school days again. You know, after Bukkapattam, Swami moved to Uravakonda, where he stayed at his brother Sri Seshmaraju's house. And the most onerous task for him during this period was the incessant hauling of water for the family needs. During one of his visits back home at Puttaparthi, when Mother Ishwaramma gave her Satya an invigorating oil bath, what she did was she smeared sesame oil on his head and Swami's limbs, and she was massaging the muscles to make them tougher, and then, you know, she would wash off the oil from Bhagwan's body with hot water. But when she was doing this, one day she observed this broadish length of blackened thick skin on Swami's left shoulder, and she realized that Swami did not complain of pain when the patch was touched or even pressed. And when she asked how did that mark happen, Swami did not say anything. Satya did not say anything. Satya simply smiled. But she insisted, "Tell me, how did this mark come on your shoulder?" And it is only then that Swami said, "Perhaps it is due to the carrying of water pots hung on both ends of a pole borne on his shoulder." Because Swami had to walk back and forth from the wells about 6 times, thrice in the morning and in the evening, so that the family of his brother with whom he stayed, as well as the families of other 2 neighbors who appealed to him for help, could have enough water for their daily usage. And once Ishwaramma figured this out, she said, "You must come away from there. They are exploiting your goodness and your desire to serve. Why should they depend on you for water?" But Satya intervened and said, "Mother, I felt it is my duty. I am carrying the water of life from that distance for them, and I am doing it happily. I have come to do service. I have come to do this service." And when Satya said this, Ishwaramma did not know what to say. Love, when it is serving, it will go out on a limb and, if required, stretch itself thin beyond limits, but will never complain of the difficulty or compromise on the quality. Instead, it will do all it can with the brightest smile glistening on its face. That is what is love. It will do anything. It will never complain. It will never compromise. And that is not how we have seen Bhagwan's love. In fact, when the hospital was about to come up, the huge hospital, in 1991, Swami made that announcement during 65th birthday that the hospital would be up in 1 year. And sometime in the month of September, some officials came to Swami and said, "Swami, how are we going to generate funds to be able to run this project for a lifetime? It is such a huge project." And, you know, if we were in Swami's position, we would have probably said, "Okay, I am God. I mean, I will make it happen." But you know what Swami said? Swami said, "I am willing to do anything to make this happen. I am willing to step onto the stage and auction myself to the highest bidder. I will auction myself to the highest bidder to make this happen for the poor." You know, there was no need for Swami to say that. Swami said, "I am willing to do anything. I will auction myself to the highest bidder. If it comes to that, but I have to make this happen. I have to make this happen for the poor." And when you hear this, what is it that you feel? Now you feel, if this is, to what extent, Swami, you can go to make a difference to others? How can we call ourselves your devotees, your children, if we just sit and do nothing about it? Our Father has built such beautiful institutions, and it is our duty, you know, we feel it, it is our duty to ensure that these institutions shine in His glory. And it is this reason that we see so many today walking on the path laid down by Bhagwan. Bhagwan made extraordinary things not through His divine power. He made it only out of His deep sense of love and compassion for humanity. And He did it in this manner so that we too can replicate that in our lives. And the good news is there are so many who are doing that in their lives. They are striving to make a difference in the lives of others, and they are doing it so beautifully, so amazingly. And this is what we need to share. This is what we need to document. This is what we should always capture within ourselves. And this is what we in Radio Sai also wanted to document, and that's how came up this series, Inspired Lives, where we bring you stories of people who are living by Bhagwan's teachings in their lives, who believe that as our Father has done, we too should lead a life which makes our Father proud. And sometime back I had a very beautiful conversation with one Mr. T.N. Shekhar from Tamil Nadu. And what I'm going to do today is play for you the first part of this conversation with him. It's about 45 minutes, the first part. So this is what we are going to do now in this last leg of Thursday Live, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. Time in the studios now is 9:18. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and the first episode of Inspired Lives with Mr. T.N. Shekhar from Tamil Nadu. Here it is. Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to our series Inspired Lives, wherein we bring you stories of people who have made and continue to make positive difference in the lives of so many around them. People who are in some ways our role models as we strive to practice Bhagwan's teachings in our practical lives. And I'm very grateful to Bhagwan that for this program today we have in the studio Mr. T.N. Shekhar. Mr. Shekhar is the managing director of a pharmaceutical firm, SKN Organics Private Limited, which is into the manufacturing and marketing and distribution of several drugs, antibiotics, analgesics, liniments, liquids, ointments. He is also the head of SKAN Research Labs Private Limited, which is based in Pondicherry, which is also called Puducherry. Well, it started off for Mr. Shekhar as a wholesale shop way back in 1995. And then he moved on to make also a retail shop, and then slowly he moved into marketing of drugs and eventually into manufacturing. And today his company employs nearly 400 people, and they have two factories, both of them in Pondicherry, and they market their products in four southern states, Tamil Nadu, Andhra Pradesh, Karnataka and Odisha. They also have two retail shops, one in Krishnagiri and the other in Sirkadi, which is near Pondicherry. They also have two wholesale shops at both these locations. And Mr. Shekhar, after living in Chennai for more than a decade,
He moved to Tirunagari about 3-4 years ago. Tirunagari, of course, is something which probably you would not have heard, nobody would have heard, because it is a nondescript village near Pondicherry. And for the last 3-4 years, that is where Mr. Shekhar stays. And it is from that village that he runs his company. Now, how is it that the managing director of a multi-crore pharmaceutical enterprise now has chosen to live in a rural hamlet with very, very limited facilities? In fact, I have gone to this village and I have seen there are no good roads in this village. How and why has he chosen to live in this hamlet? It is because of his commitment to village service or Gram Seva. In fact, his commitment to Gram Seva is as high or actually more than his commitment to his pharmaceutical firm. In fact, he spends lion's share of his time looking after all the health, education and all the other needs of the poor in these 8 villages surrounding Tirunagari. And as I told you, I know this because I have seen this myself. I traveled with him and went to these villages and I was astonished to see how he knew every person, every kid, every tree, every shrub in these villages. That was his familiarity with these surroundings, with these 8 hamlets, which are one of his life's main missions. But the astonishing thing is, how does he manage his company? How does he run this huge enterprise with 2 manufacturing units and retail operations and wholesale operations and marketing in 4 states? How does he manage to do that from this hamlet? And he's also the district president of Nagapattinam district of Tamil Nadu. He's the district president of Satya Sai organizations. And this is the month of November. Today is November 14, 2014. And the Tamil Nadu Seva is going on in Prashanthi Nilayam. And more than 100 staff from his company are here doing service as part of their seva, as part of the team that comes from Tamil Nadu to render selfless service. The Sevadal team, more than 100 are from his company. And do you know what? This will amaze you. They are all sponsored by the company in every way. They will get their full pay while they serve here in Prashanthi Nilayam, including their to and fro charges. Because for Mr. Shekhar, his staff coming to Seva annually to Prashanthi Nilayam is the much needed training that he wants to give them. In any organization elsewhere, the philosophy is to use people to develop your business. But Mr. Shekhar believes that his organization exists, his business exists, only to develop people. He wants to use business to develop people. And develop what? Develop values in them. And what better place to instill values and goodness and the element of service and sacrifice in them than bring them to Prashanthi Nilayam? And that is the reason why this happens every year. Every time there is a need for Sevadals, especially from Tamil Nadu, you will find people from his company. In fact, the CEO of his company is also here doing service. General manager of his manufacturing units, they are all here doing service and they do it every year. And what you will also be surprised to know, that this is the time when there is maximum demand for their products, for their drugs, because this is the time in winter people generally have a lot of infections. And this is the time his company should be operating in peak capacity. But this is the time you will find the entire staff in Prashanthi Nilayam, most of the staff, doing seva. Because for Mr. Shekhar, he says God comes first, others next and myself last. And this is something that he follows for his personal life as well as in running his company. Now, one may really think, you know, with this attitude, can you actually compete in today's world of cutthroat competition? Is he able to survive? Is he able to grow? Especially in pharma sector, where there is so much of competition, where there's so much of inducements, so much of where there's high margins but high competition, and there is many times unethical practices followed to gain market share. How is he able to survive? Is he making losses? His company has not only survived, but is going strong. In fact, they have been growing at an average of 20% every year. How is this happening? What is his mantra for success? What do his employees feel about him? What does his family think of all this? And how is society taking this? And personally, what is his motivation for leading such an exceptional life and for running the company in such a different manner? Well, there are a lot more questions, and this is what we will try to unravel as we go on in today's program. And along with me is Brother Harishankar, who co-hosts all our episodes in this series of Inspired Lives. So we pray to Bhagwan, and I'm really thankful to Swami that we have Mr. Shekhar with us, because he is someone who is walking the talk. We have heard of so many principles of life that we have to follow that are spoken to us from high pedestals. But I was fortunate to see him live those teachings in his real life in today's practical world, with its attractions, with its challenges, and with its various types of obstacles and hurdles. And he's been able to do that to a great extent, and we are here to learn from him, and I'm very happy that Harishankar is also here. So a warm welcome to you, sir, for this program, Inspired Lives. So where do I begin? I think, as I see it, everything that you have been able to do in your life, it is because of that spiritual connection, that strong connection that you have with Bhagwan. I think it is from there that everything has sprung up. It is that which has given you so much of strength and confidence to go ahead and do whatever you are doing. So maybe you should tell us, how did that happen? When and how did this connection with Swami become so strong?
Sairam, actually, I had the opportunity to have the darshan of Swami in the year of 1987.
Mm-hmm.
I took 2 years to, in fact, to study or do some research, like, so what Swami is doing, what the organizations is doing to the society, and it's what actually the motive of the organization, what actually Swami wants us to do, what is his expectations. This I took 2 years to study, actually.
You are going to the organization, but you are only observing things.
Observing. 2 years it took to only observation.
But what motivated you to go to the organization in the first place?
In fact, it is a plan of God. I think every move is only He decides. But in other words, I had the opportunity to meet a Sai devotee, and I was staying along with him.
This is in Chennai?
In Krishnagiri, 87.
Okay.
Krishnagiri, especially, and it started in the month of March, 87. Mm. And I used to discuss with my friend by name is Swami Ayya. We were discussing about Swami's program and what he is doing. I was attracted. So after 2 years, I thought, so it is an opportunity for me to believe and to follow Swami's teaching. I had come to the conclusion, suppose I follow Swami's teaching, definitely I will grow. Definitely my life will be very pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Then I immediately started following Swami's teaching.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the 9 code of conduct, of course I am following all the 9 code of conduct, especially no talking ill of others in their absence, and every day japam and dhyanam. Of course, because of Swami's grace, I am able to do for the past 18 years daily Nagar Sankirtanam.
Daily Nagar Sankirtanam?
Daily Nagar Sankirtanam for the past 18 years.
My God. In fact, I heard from someone that when you were in Chennai, even then you used to do, and you used to live in actually a very posh locality.
Yeah.
And that you were not shy to go out and do Nagar Sankirtan there in the morning, and sometimes there were very few people, and you continue to do.
Yeah. Never I felt shy, because actually I thought whatever I do will please Swami. So I did not at the time think of the society. I was thinking of Swami. So if I do Nagar Sankirtan, Swami will be happy. So it matters not whether the society is happy or whether society is criticizing me or appreciating me, it's not a matter. But my thought is how to please Swami. So Nagar Sangeetram Swami insists, so let us do Nagar Sangeetram. So for the past 18 years I am able to do it because of Swami's grace, so continuously Nagar Sangeetram in Sannai, Krishnagiri and in the my native place daily Nagar Sangeetram almost. Out of 365 days, 350 days Nagar Sangeetram, some 10 or 15 days may not be due to some other reasons all. So daily prayer, daily meditation, daily Nagar Sangeetram. So during that period, suppose in business problem comes or any other problem comes, during that period I will get the right solution.
During Nagar Sangeetram? In that time?
That time. Because that time I regularly devote to Swami in Nagar Sangeetram. Suppose I get up at 4 o'clock, then I get ready and do Nagar Sangeetram. 4 to 5 before Nagar Sangeetram or after Nagar Sangeetram or during Nagar Sangeetram, I get some answers for my problems.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That answers how it would be, suppose yesterday I felt as if a problem, at the time I used to think it is not a problem, it is an advantage.
An opportunity.
It's an opportunity. So, that particular time, every day I am spending to Swami, na, that time the same problem will seem to be as an opportunity.
So what was the problem? Now you see how you can actually leverage that for your advantage.
I used to think just like upwards and reverse of the same coin. So one side is a problem, the other side is the opportunity. So if you look at this as a problem, it's a problem. If you look at this as an opportunity,
but
it's
when
an
you
opportunity.
Do Nagar Sankirtan, you can see the overside.
Yeah, because Swami, you know that Swami once told, suppose you do prayer exactly at particular time, God also will respond. Suppose you give food to a particular dog exactly at a particular time, the dog also will come at that time, Swami once told. So why not God? God also, if you spend time to prayer, God also will respond.
Every day you do discipline.
Practice of sadhana is, you are pointing out, it is something that must be done at a particular time. As a discipline, you do it every day at the same time.
Every day 3 to 6 Brahma Murtam. So every day 3 to 6, I used to spend this time for prayer and Nagar Sangeetram or reading Swami's book like that.
So, but what got you really into this practice of sadhana, sir? There are many people who take up service as their means of sadhana. But what really got you into this worship of Bhagwan? Like what intensified it for you?
In fact, I have to thank for the Sai organization only, really.
The structure of the organization really allows you to get into this sadhana.
Swami's organization, if it's not there, then I could have not done this actually. Because when I was in Krishnagiri, there are so many people, they are conducting Nagar Sangeetram daily. So naturally, I participated in that Nagar Sangeetram. For 10 years, from 87 to 97. So it became a habit. So I continued it. So I have to thank for the organization only. And Swami's.
And were there any direct instructions from Bhagwan to you, like on your visits to Prashanthi Nilayam? Did you have any experience that kind of validated your relationship with Swami?
Yeah, once when I took Padanamskar, Swami said, do sadhana. I will take care of the rest of the things. I heard from his direct voice. I took it as a message of God.
Right.
Then I was continuously doing sadhana, sadhana, sadhana. Sadhana in the sense, whatever Swami says to do it, I used to do it. I used to try to follow as much as possible to trying to follow Swami's message. This is my goal. This is my aim.
Wonderful. So, of course, you mentioned about how you start your day. And then I have seen you spend a lot of your time in village service after the morning Nagar Sankirtan.
Village service.
6 o'clock. After that, you spend a lot of time going into the villages and looking after the welfare of the people. Now, how did that happen?
My life with this organization began in the year of 87. So, I participated all Samidhi activities in Krishnagiri.
Right.
Then I shifted my family to Madras due to manufacturing and business activities. And Madras also, I continued Sai organization work, Sai activities work. In fact, in Chennai also, by one Mr. Jayaraman, he is having a samidhi in his house.
Okay.
At that samidhi, I used to clean every day. Of course, all my work, if anybody asks, I will give. That cleaning of samidhi work, I will not give to anybody. As long as I was there in Chennai, I used to clean the samidhi. Daily, I used to go and clean the samidhi activities, that work. So, in Chennai also, I participated in all Sai activities apart from my business work. from 87 to 98.
Yes. And the activity of Grama Seva.
Activities of Grama Seva, when I was in Krishnagiri, we used to go to three villages. One village by name Sinnagraram, another village Madhepatti, like that Pothinayakampatti. To those villages, I used to go regularly when I was in Krishnagiri.
Okay.
I used to do all small services in the villages, regular visit. After that, I went to Madras. When I was in Madras also, I used to go surrounding villages to some activity services. And then I thought, of course, we are all doing services. Why not we go and do some services in our own village, birthplace?
So, Tirunagari is your birthplace.
Swami once asked the Swami's students, are you interested to do village services? Swami's students raised their hands. Then Swami said, Swami is happy, now Swami is much more happy.
Yeah.
Then I understood. So Swami is very particular about village service. So
I recall, I am very happy.
Much more happy. Actually, I am happy. Now I am much more happy. This word I heard from Swami. Then I was interested, because Swami was interested in doing village services. So I also wanted to do the village services.
To make Swami happy.
So this was actually in the year 2000. Back then I was a student, sir, of the MBA course over here. And I recall this was the very first Grama Seva. So Swami was in that discourse just around the time of Dashara. That's when he actually spoke about what is it that he had in mind while performing this. Why did he want us to get into Grama Seva? And I remember it was an electrifying moment. That moment, addressing all the students, he asked, are you ready? And we all raised our hands as high as we could and we all said, yes, Swami, you know, very, very loud. It's a very electrifying moment. And
so we have seen the cascading effect of
yes.
that.
This inspired me. This inspired me. Then I took a pledge, we should also do some village services continuously. Then I shifted my family from Chennai to my native place, village.
That is Tirunagari.
Tirunagari. At that time, they also, some SSVIP village, that program also there.
The All India Organization's village integration
program. And this SSVIP village program also was launched. Then immediately we took one of the village under this scheme, and I was regularly going to this village. And what I used to do means, I used to go to the village first, then I will see what is actually the need of the, our need of the people. I used to attend their needs. Suppose medical, or suppose they don't have any house, or house is not good, or toilet, or whatever the essential. I used to attend and help in all the ways. In fact, I can say, Swami said that is adapted village. What is mean by adaptation? Adaptation means, suppose if anybody does not have a child, then they adopt a child. Once they adopt a child, and the child's welfare is immediately taken care of that persons.
Yes,
by the parents.
So I thought, so we took these villages under adaptation. So we should take care of all their needs. So on that basis, I used to go and attend whatever the need they have, I used to attend. They are all their problems, as far as possible, I used to attend. When I regularly visiting and attending that particular SSVP village, the people were very happy.
So the members of the Samiti, the Sai Center at Nagapattinam, would they also accompany you, sir, on these?
Yeah, people also will accompany me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not individually I used to go, a group of people we used to go.
And what kind of programs typically, just to get an idea of what programs would you conduct under this?
Immediately we will open a Balayagar Center, and education tuition classes, and regularly cultural programs, and Nagar Sangeetana regularly we organize. And weekly once evening bhajan, weekly morning once Nagar Sangeetana.
Okay.
Often parental meet, Swami's life history, video.
Right.
And as far as possible, we will carry the message of Swami to the village people also.
I see. And the service activities, like what kind of service activities
service activities, as far as the village is concerned, they are in need of the medical.
I see.
Yeah. So, doctors used to come to my village regularly, monthly, 1 week, from Chennai, one doctor, Mr. Yathiraj. He is to regularly.
Yes.
Coming 20th also, he is going to come to my village. He will stay 1 week there.
Yes.
And he will bring group of doctors also.
Uh-huh.
So, suppose anybody due to financial problem, they suffer and they are not able to go to the doctors, means we used to take the patient, adopt the patient.
I see.
and do whatever the treatments needed, we will spend and we will give the all best treatment to them.
Oh, the entire cost of the treatment would be borne by the,
by you. By me means by every money is God's money.
Yes, of course.
Has given the money, and we used to spend from the moment they start until they reach the place, all expenses also we used to do.
If they have to be taken to any city or anywhere for any treatment,
yeah.
You will bear all the expenses.
All expenses I used to bear. Even sometimes needed bus fare or train fare or in our own vehicle car, we will bear the expenses. We used to take them to Chennai and give the best treatments and we will bring them. A lot of cases we have done like this.
Hmm. Can you mention one or two cases?
Okay, I can mention one case. After cesarean operation, young lady, after first childbirth, she was suffering from infections, severe infections. And we went and saw that lady was suffering. Immediately, we directed them to go to a better surgeon to the nearby town by Nasirkadi. And that doctor, Anwar Ali, MS, he immediately directed that patient to Annamalai University, Sidambaram Medical College Hospital. Hmm. From there, they directed to Jipmer Gorimed, Pondicherry. There also they were not able to give the right treatment. The suffering was to the score. And the patient was again brought to their native place.
Could not be treated.
And she was brought back to her house. She was about to die in dying conditions. Then again we went and immediately we contacted a hospital doctor by name Thanigachalam, who is in Madras. We sent the case history of the patient. Mm-hmm. Then he asked us to bring the patient immediately. Then we took her to the medical college. Then immediately he did a surgery. Again, one more surgery. The patient became all right. Now she is totally all right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Totally, the village people were very happy because the patient about to die was taken to Chennai and given right treatment and brought back totally all right means the message spreads.
Yes.
So people are very happy. And one more thing, they are now having the confidence also. If any problem comes to them, there is a Sai Devotee, Sai organization, they will do the best. This confident level also, we are able to raise among the people of the village.
Yeah, I can quite understand what a boon that would be for the people of that village to know that somebody is there at all times to selflessly take care of
any time,
such needs.
Any problem they can call and we will attend.
When I was seeing those people and these villages along with you in February 2014, I remember the amount of respect they had for you.
Good.
It is because of what you mean to them.
Yeah. One more case. In the SSVIP village, after covering that, we used to go to the school also, and the headmaster brought to our knowledge about particular student who was having a problem, frequent urination. Unconsciously, he will pass urine in the classroom itself.
Incontinence, as they call it.
Yeah, that message was brought to our knowledge. Then that case we undertook, and we took that boy to the doctor. And continuously we attended and we started giving treatment, the best treatment. After that, the boy became totally all right.
You took him to Chennai?
Not Chennai, but the doctor who came from Chennai, Ethiraji, he attended the case and he directed to take that patient to the particular doctors in Kumbakonam. We took him and we started giving treatment, tablet and everything we did. Finally, that boy became all right. When he was studying at the third standard, he had this problem. Continuously 3-4 years the problem was there, and his parents, after spending a lot of money, were not able to cure, rectify the problem. But when we took over, due to Swami's grace, we became successful and the boy also became totally all right. In fact, he has come to the third batch service also.
Now he's come as Sevadal.
Yes, Sevadal.
Now, in which class is he studying now?
After 10th standard, he did not study. Okay. He is working. Some electrical workers, he is going along
vocational
with somebody.
Training and working.
Yeah. He is doing some work, but he is totally all right. And his parents are very happy.
Wonderful.
And in fact, the headmaster and the school teachers are also very, very happy. And before that, the classroom also will become very nasty because of this problem. It's God's...
Amazing. In fact, I remember when I went with you to one village and we went to the one hut.
Yeah.
And we saw one lady, she had a mark on her neck.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a mark of a thread going through her neck.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was very surprising to see that mark. It was a very dark mark. And when we asked her, and that is when one of the members of the family mentioned that she actually had tried to take her life. And no one knows why, but it is then that you mentioned to me that you had actually spent 3-4 lakhs on that patient because she had some problem before.
Yeah.
And in spite of you going out of your way and doing so much for that lady, still she had taken this decision. Must have been a very difficult circumstance for her in her personal life or whatever. We have no clue. But when this was mentioned, and I remember I asked you, how do you feel like if you have spent so much to cure someone and this person again goes and does something like this to her life? When I asked you, how do you feel? You know, your answer was very different. Suppose I ask you now, you have spent so much money to cure someone and next day you hear that again she's done something like that. How do you feel?
See, I am doing all these things to please God, Swami. I love Swami and I love the people for the sake of Swami. So whether the people pay response or not is not the matter, because I am not interested in getting appreciation or anything from the people. All my aim is whether today's my activities will please God or not. Whether God will be happy with what I do or not, that is my botheration.
Wow. In fact, I remember that day you told me, I am doing service for self-realization. So whatever I had done that day that chapter is closed.
To please God is actually
self-realization. Yes, so absolutely. I mean, it is the same thing.
So no expectations.
No expectations.
With the least, with actually nil expectations, we are doing. Only just what is the benefit means, we are able to love more and more people.
Okay. Able to love more and more people, genuinely.
More and more people. And we are confident once because Swami said, you are able to see the moon because of the moonlight. You are able to see the sun because of the sunlight. By love only you can realize God. So I am interested to spend my money, energy, knowledge, everything to develop or increase love, expansion of love. I can take efforts. Then Swami will give the love. With that love, I will be able to love Swami more and more. The life will become meaningful.
So, you are conducting these village service activities initially from Chennai.
Yeah, please.
Then you shifted your base of operations to the village of Tirunagari. You moved with your entire family there eventually. But what prompted you to actually make this a major decision to take? A, because you are leaving a very comfortable life in a city and moving to a village. And B is, you know, you are also managing a huge enterprise with several employees. You know, with so much at stake, what prompted this decision to move over to Tirunagari, to make service to Swami as your first priority?
There are two reasons. The first reason is, to do service, there is no lot of competition. Suppose to do service, not lot of people are coming. But to run an organization, we can appoint the employees, people.
Absolutely.
But to do service, we cannot call all the people. There is no much competition in doing service. That is one of the reasons why I selected this. Because I took the service as the first priority. This is the main reason. Another reason is, see, suppose we do the business. As long as we are one among the business person, we cannot judge exactly in the right things, right way.
Mm-hmm.
I used to talk like this, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, they will always quarrel.
Right.
Mother-in-law will blame daughter-in-law. Daughter-in-law will blame mother-in-law.
Mm.
An ex-outsider will say it is meaningless, it is waste.
Absolutely.
It is useless, the quarrel is useless. Being a third person, he is able to understand the things exactly in the right way.
See it objectively.
But when the third person becomes one among these two, cannot discriminate what is right, what is wrong. So as long as we are one among the people running the business, we cannot discriminate what is the right, what is wrong, exactly the best decision we cannot take.
Mm-hmm.
Once we are able to look at our business as an outsider.
Right.
So our discrimination power will be increased.
This is a completely new take on management, you know, how detachment actually helps you to run your enterprise.
So you want to move away from your business so that you can run your business
better. Run your business as an outsider. So all justifiable decision I can take.
Because we are all the time more good and better in giving advice to people than doing the right thing.
Yeah, while we are in the business, we will have our own desire. And the desire will also be a part and partial in the decision.
In fact, you know, as just reading some time ago about this principle called servant leadership, and one of the first canons of the principle is that it is that manager who is seen the least, it is he who manages best.
Yeah.
You know, that is one of the first canons of servant leadership. I think this is really the first time I'm seeing like somebody who's actually put it into practice and in such a spectacular manner. Yeah. Mm.
So I will never think about the business. When the time comes to take the decision, only at the time I will enter into the hall and will take the decision, I will come out. This is one of the reasons.
But will you be able to get a good understanding of the business?
Yeah, exactly. Better understanding. Better understanding. Because this is a detached attachment. I have attachment, but this is detached attachment. So I can see the business as a whole.
Absolutely, yeah.
And
you're not caught up in the nitty-gritties. Yeah. And there are, in fact, you've literally delegated it to the right people to carry on the enterprise. And in exceptional circumstances,
when you come out of the house, you can see the whole house. When you are in one of the room, you cannot see the whole house. When you come out of the business, you can see the business as a whole and take the decision, right decisions. Thinking about the future, thinking of the values. And we will not give much importance to the profit. So we will be able to give importance to the values. But once we give values to the business, then the values will bring profit, growth, everything. Actually, all business growth is based on values only. Whether they knowingly or unknowingly, values only will give growth to the business.
That is your conviction.
Yeah. Not only my conviction, it is true. I can say, I can prove.
Actually, this is something also we would like to explore, sir.
Because I don't think people in the outside world believe so much that you can make profits by following values.
See, I say one example. One of the leading pharmaceutical company, previously, they were giving very much importance to the values. As long as they were giving very importance to the values, it was in the number one position. When they were facing the problems with the other companies, they started losing their values, giving less importance to the values.
They started compromising.
Yeah. As a result, what happened, they negotiated with unethical people or something. And they had to pay some millions of dollars as a penalty. Then finally, they took decision not to follow the unethical way. So, suppose 10 points, 3 points values, 7 point not values means 3 point growth will be there. 7 points, 7% growth will not be there. 7% values means 7% growth. So, finally, values only will help them to grow. Or else a short-lived, short span they may grow, but after a few years or a few decades, they will fall down.
So if I were to ask you, like, your company, what are the values it stands for as a company? That is,
I said two reasons why I shifted my family to Tirunagiri. One is I was able to look at my business as outsider. Another one is naturally when I started doing services in my villages, the demand increased for my presence in that village.
Absolutely. Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
So I understood where actually the need for me, for my presence. I understood the village there, my presence is more needed than in the city, in the business.
Yes.
Then I chose this. So need-based. So the two reasons.
I mean, as you mentioned, there are other people who can run the company for you, but there are not many people who will go out and do this kind of service that you were rendering personally.
Yeah.
There's enormous clarity in that decision, right?
Yes.
Yes. Sir, coming back to this question, that supposing I were to ask you, like, what are the values your company really stands for? Like, that you communicate, say, to your employees. That you always stand for these things.
Okay. My thing is, see, the child is taken care of by mother. And the student is taken care of by the teacher. My policy is, once anybody has become an employee, the organization should take care of the employee's welfare in all aspects. Character, lifestyle, financial, welfare, mental, all attitudes, the organization should take care of the employees.
It is not the organization's responsibility to just to give the salary for the work that that person is doing.
But I don't think that is right. Because of the employee only, the organization grows. Without the employee, we cannot grow. So the employee's welfare is much more necessity, essential.
It's complete
because
welfare.
Yeah, suppose I become a MD of the organization, means how can I become a MD? Because of the employees only.
Hmm.
So using them only I have become MD. So they are the people who made me MD. So they are more important persons.
Yes.
So they are important persons means for their growth, their happiness, their character is important. Their lifestyle is important. If they are good, they will be happy. So how to make them good, how to make them character oriented, how to make them values oriented. As long as I take steps to make them values oriented, their life will be taken care of by the values.
Sir, in fact, Swami would emphasize this to the MBA students time and again, that in any organization, any company, it is the people who are the most important resource. It's really fascinating, sir, to see this. Yeah.
Men are more valuable than all the wealth,
all
of the
wealth
world,
in the world.
Swami
yeah.
used to always say.
So I love the people. I love the employees. In turn, they also love me. So there is a living relationship with them.
But how is the response of the employees? Like sometimes if you try to tell some employees to lead a particular lifestyle, or you impress on them that, you know, this is good for you, you do this, this is good for your character. You know, he might feel that, I mean, why is this person entering into my personal space? I mean, I am working and he can give me the salary. But who is he to tell me how I should think, what I should do after I leave the office, or what kind of a lifestyle I should lead? I mean, who is he to tell me about all this? It's my life.
Yeah, yeah, of course. But I don't insist anybody to do this or that. But I am going through this path.
Mm.
You take my CEO. If suppose he wants to meet me, means I will be in the Nagasetana, he has to meet me at that time. I will be in Sahi activities, he has to meet me at that time. I will be in the village, he has to meet me at that time. So naturally they will be motivated. Seeing
so basically,
me.
You are motivating them by your personal example.
Yeah, personal example. I am not teaching. I am not a teacher. I am following. Even in my family life also, this is what is happening.
Yes.
I won't ask my wife, you get up early in the morning. I won't ask my son. But I will get up at early in the morning, I will start my prayer at 5 o'clock. Then naturally, one day they also starts. And that is the reason I have come to the service, my wife also has come to the service. I have not insisted her to do service and all this. But she is getting up at 1:30 every day night and 2 o'clock in the mandir cleaning services. All the whole month, every day, I am putting the alarm at 1:30. She is getting up at 1:30, 2 o'clock, not even one day absent. All the days, she, due to Swami's grace, she is able to do the service. I have not asked her to do service. But I am doing it. Whether you do it or not, it is your lookout. But I am interested in doing it. I am doing it. Suppose when I am at my house, if any relatives or anybody comes, I used to tell them, at 5 o'clock we will get up for Nagar Sangeetanam. Maybe it is inconvenient to you. You can sleep upstairs or in the room. So before that I will tell. So I am not insisting anybody, but I am following. And people around me, naturally they have to think of me. See, my manager is there in Kashmir and Pandi are in Madras. The whole month I am staying here. So naturally they will think, our MD is staying there, there, there. Then we will start thinking, why he is staying there? They will come and they will find so something is there. And Swami's grace is also abundant. So they will understand. They will start doing it. And the very first day when I started the business, I started with the bhajan.
Mm-hmm.
When we were three members, we started this with bhajan. Now, suppose 100 members, now all the 100 members, they come and sit in the bhajans. So, most of them, the singers also. The question is, at the beginning, if you follow certain things, and then automatically people will come also, they will join.
This is a fascinating example of how you have interlaced spirituality and business.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful working example actually.
Amazing.
If suppose now 80 members are sitting in the bhajans, so new 10 members recruitment means all the 10 members automatically they will come.
So that is the culture of the organization.
Culture of the organizations.
Yeah.
If anybody is not interested in the culture of the organizations, they may not be continuing in this.
They might leave.
It's a science institution in its own right, you know.
Yeah.
In fact, I heard that on one occasion there was a important board meeting going on, and you were obviously part of that. And then at that time, someone came with the news that one employee is suddenly needs attention, seriously fell sick or something, you immediately quit the meeting and you went. Yeah. Even though, I mean, it was a very important meeting.
That is, naturally you used to do it. Even if we are in the village, at 1 o'clock somebody will come and knock the door due to some problem, somebody is a stroke or heart attack, means immediately we go and attend it. As far as we go, already we will send our driver and the car and all facilities will go. Once what happened, one known person, at 1 o'clock night, they knocked the door. They said, due to stroke, he is suffering. Then I arranged a car, some money, a vehicle and everything. Actually, at 1 o'clock means a little bit I was disturbed because of next day work and other things. Then it strike. What means, Swami has said, who is the best person in the world, which is the best time in the world, which is the best action in the world. I used to tell the story to the Balayoga students. Mm. The story means one king asked a saint, what is the best time, who is the best person? And the saint, at the time one sick patient came and the saint attended to the patient. And then the saint answered to the king, because I am able to serve, do service to this person. He has given me opportunity to serve. So he is the best person. This time I am serving. So this is the best time. And this action is the best action. Then I remembered this Swami saying. Even at 1 o'clock I was very happy. So this 1 o'clock, this time is the best time in my life. He is the best person. So this action is the best action. So I was very happy. Then I slept.
Wow.
But in your business, like as I would expect, there are so many ups and downs that come with actually looking after an organization.
Actually, you need not to look at the ups and downs or the competitors or the business. Hmm. But instead, you can think how best we can follow dharma, follow truth in our organizations.
Wonderful.
Follow dharma means how we can give the best product to the society. This is dharma. In the best ethical way, that is also dharma. Best policy, following truth. Truth, if we follow, truth means actually when we give a product, we should give the right, the best product. So once we give the best product means doctors one day, if not one day, the other day they will accept it. Oh, this is the best product.
Mm.
See, you are supposing buying a product. If it is good, you will continuously buy. If it is not good, you will not buy. So there is a truth, you will buy continuously. If not truth, you will not buy continuously. So we pay more attention in concentrating to give best product to the society.
Mm.
How best the product we can give, how best service we can do to the employees, how best product we can give to the society.
So once the moral principles are upheld, everything naturally falls into place.
Yeah. Of course, when we started, we did not have auditors, proper accounts, everything.
Yeah.
But after that, you see, some years back, one auditor came. He was straightforward.
Yeah.
He wanted to take most of the company's account. He will follow ethics. Then when we appoint him, he said, I will not sign. I said, we also want the auditors like you. Of course, we pay more. But he is a straightforward auditor. He will follow the rules and regulations strictly. Mm. And our auditor is like him only. So, no fear, no need of having fear. Suppose our auditor is not good, or if we don't have a proper account, means we will think of always something will happen or this or that. So falsehood always will have fear.
Yes.
Truth will have no fear. So if you don't have fear, the decision will be right. If you don't have desire, decision will be right. If you don't have the five kama krodha lobha moha madha macharya, the decision will be right. So satya dharma shanti prema ahimsa means the decision will be right decision. So right decision will lead to success.
So that was the first part of the conversation with Mr. T.N. Shekhar from Tamil Nadu. And I'm sure, dear listeners, you would have found in this conversation many things to take away and apply in your own lives. I have found it very enriching. I have found it very useful. We only have to look around. There are so many, in so many fascinating ways they are making, practicing the teachings of Bhagavan fashionable in their lives. And this is what we should be doing. This is what will give us so much happiness. This is what will make our lives a celebration. Sometime back,
I remember reading a very beautiful quotation. It is by Jalaluddin Rumi. It says, "And still, after all this time, the sun has never said to the earth, 'You owe me.' Look what happens with love like that. It lights up the sky. The sky is lit up because the sun is loving unconditionally. It is giving relentlessly. It is because love is meaningless without sacrifice. And there is no sacrifice without love. It is impossible. And love without sacrifice is meaningless. And if there's anything that we need to learn from Bhagwan's life, it is only this. Let us make love the only driving force, the only reason why we exist. We will continue this conversation with Mr. T.N. Shekhar in the next episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you so much, dear listeners, for being with us all through the day. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. We have already crossed 10 o'clock and it's time to wind up. As I sign off, you will continue to listen to a drama presented by Delhi Sai Youth on 28th January 2009. It's entitled Aastha. So continue to listen to this and do keep writing to us. Tell us what you feel about our offerings. We will do whatever we can to make it more interesting and inspiring for you. Thank you so much. Finally, a sweet goodbye and loving sidearm from Prashant Nilayam.